1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults, by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to this Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here. We've got a great show today. We've got mostly veterans, some from long, long ago, yesteryear. We got Justin. We got AG. We got Mario. He's a pro. He's here all the time. And then brand new right out of the gate, we got Robert hanging out with us today.
Yes,
you prefer Robert? Rob, what do you like?
Rob.
Going to Rob. I like that. I'm going to cross off the Bert or the Ert right here and make you Rob again. As always, got producer Julian tickling keys.
Producer Julian tickling keys, pushing buttons. Wanting some people to hit that subscribe button down below, the like button, and hit the share and send it to all your friends and relatives so that we can get this thing blowing up
regardless
more
of
than
how you
our
feel
most
about
popular
this
video.
Yeah, send it. I'm going to say something really controversial right now.
Just, do it.
I don't think that. I hate it when people don't return shopping carts. That's not controversial enough. Let me go deeper. Deeper cut. One thing I really hate is when people joke around with me like we're really good friends and I barely know them. That's still not deep. What's something more controversial? What's something I believe is controversial?
That giraffes. Oh, no, you like giraffes.
No, I hate giraffes.
Oh, you hate giraffes. That giraffes are the best animal that has walked the planet.
Right, and I'll take the exact opposite approach.
Right.
Yeah,
yep.
I wish there were no giraffes.
Yeah, if you're a giraffe lover, comment down below. If you're a giraffe hater, hit that like button.
That's kind of heavy-hitting commentary you get here on Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. But we're going to talk less about giraffes, and we're going to dig into the title of this episode, which is Faith, Pope, and Love. That was clever, wasn't it?
That was clever, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the papacy. We're going to be talking about the papacy, the possibly upcoming conclave, praying for Pope Francis, and all of that good stuff. But before we do that, we got to do fun facts, and we got to pray. Anybody want to volunteer to pray? Volunteer prayer? Anybody? Come on.
Okay.
Come on, do it. Be cool. Be cool.
Okay.
Be cool.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that you send down the Holy Spirit and help guide our thoughts, words, and actions today as we discuss the papacy. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
All right, listen. I don't grade prayers anymore.
No, you're not allowed to grade prayers anymore.
but were I to still grade prayers, that would be like a 90 for brevity.
Brevity was great, yeah.
Concise. To the point, you're on it. It's like when every time a deacon stands up in church, I take a big old sigh, right? Because I'm usually not super psyched. I'm usually think it's going to be a kind of lame homily. And it isn't always. There's some great deacons out there. But for the most part, the deacons are great, but not terribly eloquent, right? And but one thing that they always get points for is brevity. They don't have anything terribly productive or interesting or, you know, challenging to say, but man, they say it quick and they act like they don't want to be up there and they're done. And I love that. I appreciate that.
It's like the Irish priests.
You can't polish
this really quick.
Yeah. You got 45 seconds to spit that homily out. It's good stuff.
You can't fall asleep if it's not long enough,
exactly,
man.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to start over here with you guys. So you've been on the show before. So technically you only owe us one, but because it's been so long, you've accrued another one. So
Before we get there, we're doing, and we didn't prompt anybody, so this is a surprise to all the contestants. So one fun fact about yourself and one fun fact about the topic at hand. So it could be, and just to give you guys a second to think about it, it could be, hey, you know, when I was a kid, Pope Benedict or Pope John Paul II did this, and it really stuck with me. So I'll give you guys just a moment to think about that because I threw that on there. And if you could, listeners, comment down below your favorite Pope moment throughout childhood or today. Yeah.
While they're doing that, I'm going to recap the entirety of the HBO miniseries, The Young Pope. Jude Law's elected Pope. He's young and very attractive, as Jude Law is. And he's supposed to be the bad guy, and turns out he's just awesome. And I rooted for him the entire show, and then he dies in the end. That's season one of Young Pope. I think it was 8 episodes long, pretty good. I think there was a season 2, but I didn't watch it.
Hmm. I have a mutual friend of ours named Matt. I can't say last names because we don't do last names here on Honest to God, who reached out to me when I was going by Jude for a while. If you watch my conversion story, we get into that. But he said if I ever started a law firm, I should call it Jude Law. And I never knew the reference until today.
What, you didn't know who Jude Law is?
No, I didn't.
Well, what have you been doing with your life up to this point?
I've been studying for the bar and all sorts of other things. Don't go to law school. Yeah.
Oh, Jude Law is great. Cold Mountain. Yeah. A lot of good Jude
Law. I'll check it out.
Yeah. All right, Justin, what you got? Two fun facts.
So, my name is Justin. It's not one of the fun facts. Fun fact
number one, we were talking about things we dislike earlier. I can't stand the lack of blinkers in this country.
Oh, that's fair.
I really struggle. Fun fact number two about the papacy. So I'm a resident Protestant back, and I feel like I'm at
nobody's perfect. Advantage. Yeah.
And this is my first non-Tolkien episode. Maybe that should be my fun facts.
Oh, can I prompt you for something then, since you're a Protestant?
Yeah, go
on. What's something that you've heard negatively about the fact that we have a pope as Catholics?
That's fun.
Could you? Yeah.
Ooh.
That you don't agree with. Yeah, we'll go with that. That you think is unfair.
That I disagree with and I think is unfair.
And while you're thinking about that, AG can...
Yeah, why don't you chime in, AG?
My fun fact is that we got married.
That is a very fun fact.
We've gotten married since we've been back.
I might even like it more than the blinker fact that Justin gave. Yeah.
And then I think the second fun fact is we're actually going to Rome on our honeymoon later this month, so...
I dig that. All right, awesome. That's really very good. Nice. Congratulations, guys. How long have y'all been married?
Not long. Yeah. Since October.
5 months? Okay.
Heck yeah.
Not quite 6 months.
Working on five.
It only gets better from there.
That's fantastic. Awesome. That's so great.
I have an unrelated fun fact because
that's fine. You don't have to. We're not going to force you into your fun facts.
You know, I don't want to dive straight into the realm of controversy. There was something historical I remember from way back when that many Catholic listeners might know already. But during the time of the Holy Roman Empire, mm-hmm. we had two popes floating around.
Avignon, papacy, yeah.
There you go. And the only thing I remember about the Holy Roman Empire is a history teacher saying it was neither holy nor Roman. I don't know that it was actually an empire.
Well, that's an Elskit. There's an Elskit with Mike Myers where he says that line.
That's probably where they got it from. Yeah, that and it features quite heavily in the play Faustus by Marlowe.
Yes, yes.
I'm showing my literary degree.
That's a deep cut, Justin. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, so fun fact about the Avignon papacy, we recognize the Roman line. We said the Roman line was a real one, the one in Rome. Those were legit, and when there were two, because we... There was a point where we had one, and he was in France, and then he was told to go back by one of the wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful female saints of our church. We follow the Roman line.
Yeah, and even as much as just a few years ago, we had two popes in a way, you know, with Pope Benedict and Pope Francis.
Well, I mean, there's currently a guy out in Kansas who claims to be Pope Michael.
Pope Michael. I was going to bring him up.
Yeah, we'll bring him up. Write it down right now. We're going to bring up some Pope Michael facts.
So this video might actually get some views because of Pope Michael.
I was going to say shout out to Pope Michael, but I don't want to endorse Pope Michael, which
definitely
I'm not
do not
doing.
Endorse.
But I appreciate the hustle. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I mean, got to dream big, right? That's neat.
You're going to dream.
What you got, Mario? You got any fun facts for us?
Ooh, fun facts. No, I don't have a fun fact.
You got to have one. We can't let you talk at all on the show if you don't give us a fun fact.
All right.
It doesn't even have to be about you.
Okay. I was actually thinking of starting my own radio show, partnered with Honest to God. It's actually a big dream now, but why not? God'll have a way.
Everybody wants to get on the AM radio game.
Yeah, that's right. If you are not subscribed, you definitely want to be subscribed now to see what might the future may hold with Mario's ideas and Honest to God.
Yes, don't worry. You guys will be on there.
John, oh, good.
You won't be excluded, John Henry, but I will exclude your Beck. Okay.
No. I don't know what you're talking about. This is Zevia. We only drink Zevia here on Honest to God. Actually, this episode of Honest to God is brought to you by Zevia, now dyed the weird syrupy color of regular soda. Mm. What you got, Rob? Fun facts?
So I'm a big cigar smoker.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my fun facts.
You ever tried the Michael Knowles
Mayflower cigar? No, Michael Knowles, if you're listening, though, you want to sponsor me, that'd be amazing.
Dude, Michael Knowles is actually a big supporter of the show. Yeah, he's going to be on here soon.
Really?
Yeah, we got Jeff Goldblum, and we got Michael Knowles coming on. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're with you guys, which we're more pumped for.
Yeah, Michael Knowles got kicked off this show today because of all you guys. Yeah, sorry, y'all took priority over Michael Knowles.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's currently
you guys made a
crying
mistake.
In the bathroom.
And then what about the papacy? Pope Mercurius was the first pope to change his name to one of the previous popes because he didn't want to have a pagan god as his name as
cool.
pope.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That is a really fun fact. That's a good papal fun fact.
Shout out to Michael Knowles for teaching me that one.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
Yeah, I do want to say thank you to Rob, because I heard beforehand that Rob did some actual research, some homework before this. So that's fun. That's exciting stuff. All right, so let's dive in. Now, I want to start by saying, you know, we wish Pope Francis the best. Do I have the best opinions of Pope Francis and his papacy? No, I don't. I'd be happy to dig into that all day long. But that being said, he is a legitimate pope. He's the Holy Father. And we know that he's going through a tough time right now. All episodes of Honest God are aired live. So hopefully by the time you hear this, which is right after I say it, he's feeling better. But that being said, there's all of a sudden the very beginnings, the creeping of what's going to happen and the questions and the controversies and that awful movie, Conclave, that was nominated for Best Picture.
Shouldn't watch it.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Yeah, no.
Don't waste your time reading the book either.
Yeah, don't watch it.
I'll spoil it. In the end, the guy ends up being intersex, and that's supposed to be some big controversy because he has some physical deformity, right? So yeah. There you go. I just ruined the movie. Don't waste your time. But I want to dig into the papacy and... Yeah, get into a lot of conclave stuff, because it's one of those things that I feel like we just randomly, everyone has to learn a whole lot about once every however many years. I think I've had the election of two popes in my lifetime, Benedict XVI, which I vaguely remember from high school, was not practicing my faith at all at the time. It was just a thing. And then Pope Francis, and I remember that because I was working at Holy Spirit Prep, and I was in the gym when they called all the students to the gym when the white smoke came out, and we all had, like, watched it on the big screen as this guy that nobody ever heard of, Bergoglio, was made pope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good memory. But fun fact about me and the Pope, Benedict, we have the same birthday.
No way.
Yeah, nice.
When's that?
April 16th.
Same year?
So, you know, I don't think so, but I'd have to go and check.
Yeah.
And then another mutual friend of ours, Paul, he's been on the show, Paul Thigpen. He has Pope John Paul II's birthday. So when him and I are together, there's always chaos that happens in the world.
Well, I got Ringo Starr's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's kind of neat.
Same year?
Yeah, I know, different years. he was before me. No, that is cool. That's a fun fact.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dig into this. I would love to kind of start by kind of like, what was going on? How invested were you? What did you know the last time that a conclave took place? Because for me, the first time with Benedict XVI, I had absolutely no idea. And the second time, I nerded out about this. But that was how many years ago? 12 years ago? Something like that?
It was about 12.
2013, yeah. So okay. Pope Benedict stepped down February 28th.
Okay.
It was a very pivotal day for me. It was very odd, actually. I had a lot of emotions that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you know? What did you, I mean, what kind of going into that?
I was a child, so
great.
I probably had no idea what was going on. I think we were watching it on the big screen of my grandma's house, and then we were just, okay, this is what we're watching. We're not watching anything else. You're not watching your shows. You're just going to watch this, because it's the new pope. And I was so lost, and I was so bored. It's like, what is going on, Grandma? I don't know. And it's like, okay, apparently it's an election. Is it like an American election? No.
Right.
But apparently it's one of the most important elections ever done.
Yeah, doesn't happen very often.
No, it does not. Yeah.
You did a deep dive into sort of the conclave stuff and what actually happens. Can you give us a rundown?
Yeah, so it starts off with once the Pope either dies or resigns,
mm-hmm.
The College of Cardinals gathers together and they figure out what the Church needs moving forward. So what are its needs? Where should we go from here? Once they get all that kind of sorted out, they'll probably have a few names in mind of who they want to choose. So then you have a 15 to 20 day, if the Pope dies, you have a 15 to 20 day mourning period. No longer than 20 days. If after the 20 days, the College of Cardinals gathers together in Rome, and what they do is they have a mass to ask the Holy Spirit to guide them during the conclave.
Sure.
Now, the Cardinals... You guys know, right? The Cardinals are appointed by the Bishop of Rome, by the Pope. And after they're appointed, they have to be younger than 80 to vote in a papal election.
So there's a cutoff. Right? So 80 years old. Once you're 80. Over 80, you attend, but you don't vote, right?
Right, but there can be no more than 120 Cardinals. So even if there's, like, let's say there's 121, that's under 80. The max number is 120.
How do they figure out who gets kicked off? The last appointed or something?
Okay. I have no idea.
I'm guessing on something through, like, how many years have you been a cardinal, probably? So probably, like, the youngest, the rookie cardinal, that's probably not...
I'm sure we can look that up. Huh? Yeah. You keep going. I'm going to look that up.
But so, after they have their mass, they pray for the Holy Spirit to guide them in the conclave. And then all of the cardinals younger than 80, which is about 120, they go over to the Sistine Chapel. They take a vow to abide by the laws of the conclave, and then from there they start casting their votes. Once they cast their votes, if there is 2/3 or more of a unanimous decision,
right,
then you have a new pope. If there's not, then you don't. So what they do with the ballots, let's say there's less than 2/3 of a less than 2/3 of it, they take a chemical that produces black smoke, burn the ballots, add the chemical to it, and then you get the black smoke from the chimney.
Sure.
Once you get 2/3 or more unanimous decision on the pope, then they go burn the ballots, put the chemical in, it produces white smoke, and then the guy walks out and says, Abemus
Papam. Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, I remember that. Papam.
Yeah. And then you have your new pope, and he addresses the people.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what the layout of the College of Cardinals looks like right now in regards to... I think the majority are Francis appointees. Isn't that right?
That is correct. But are you referring to more of like the conservative layout or...
Yeah, I always wonder how to use that terminology because when you say conservative versus liberal, I feel like a lot of times it gets tied up in sort of like American political nomenclature.
Yeah, it's different. So conservative in America and liberal in America doesn't quite mean the same thing for theology and religion.
Yeah, so my understanding is, and once again, I don't know too much about this other than things that I've kind of been Googling recently as I've gotten questions from kids at school and stuff, that the majority of the College of Cardinals are currently Francis appointees, and so the assumption is that the next pope is going to be kind of Pope Francis-y, but... We've seen wild deviations from that over, like, it's not just sort of like an American system where you have Republican-minded, Democrat-minded, liberal, conservative, whatever you want to say, right? There seems to be a whole lot more into it. And obviously, as Catholics, we would say the big part is the Holy Spirit being heavily involved in who's going to be the next pope. Julian, you look really excited about something over there.
Yeah, so I found out, and this is according to CatholicView.org, but apparently they draw lots to figure out who will vote. In the last one, there was, it looks like there was 131 that were qualified, and of course only 120 are allowed, but they drew lots.
So 11 of them just don't get to vote based on
the Holy Spirit.
Drawn lots. That's how we got Malachi, the apostle, to be one, our bishop in Acts. Yeah. 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 You guys, I don't know, we got any Protestant takes on this over there, Justin, so far?
I mean, so far, I had no idea there was an age cut. Mm-hmm. Of 80. I would have assumed, had I not known, that we just keep going, like, the more senior, the better. in an area like this.
There's probably, like, you know, with the cardinals that are starting to get older who have been from different papal
offices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who have been appointed by different popes.
Sure.
You know, I think having that cutoff of 80 kind of brings in some of the old and a lot of the new.
Mm-hmm.
That way there's not really too much of this or that. But that's just me giving my opinion. It's not a fact.
Right. Are there any, I don't know, has anybody heard any, like, I don't even know what names there are, like, in terms of, like, there's usually, like, front runners, right, for lack of a better term.
Michael Knowles had 5 names that he was given, and one of them was the one for Atlanta.
Wilton Gregory? Oh, no, the old, Hartmeyer.
No.
Not Hartmeyer.
I can't think. I just gave a bunch of money to his campaign. I can't remember his name, though.
Wilton Gregory was the... Not Wilton Gregory. You're not talking about Wilton Gregory, who's currently up in D.C.
No.
Because I know he's a cardinal. I wonder how many historically... I know some have not been cardinals. I believe that the only requirements, right, are to be a baptized Catholic male.
For a cardinal, yes.
But I mean to be elected pope. You just have to be a baptized Catholic man. And I could be wrong about this, but I believe that you have to be ordained to become pope, but not to be elected pope. Meaning, Mario could be elected pope, and then you got 30 days. You better get ordained on the airplane on the way over there. Huh? I mean, all you need is a bishop to
do the thing.
Well, that's kind of crazy. Like, imagine if somebody was married.
Right, yeah.
They were like,
well, I mean, we've had married popes. Yeah. Peter was married, right? We've had married popes in the past before papal celibacy in the West was enforced.
Yeah. We'll put John Henry Spann's name in the mix for this upcoming.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to lie. I feel like... like it could happen.
Yeah.
Hey, if he can run a school, he can run a church.
Exactly. Exactly. How hard could it be?
Yeah,
you think I can't deal with a bunch of crotchety old Italians? I do it every day on Introduction to the Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio.
That's right.
So I wanna dig into, like you said, the names. What is? Can you give us the background? Are these guys all seen as sort of like, from a papal standpoint, liberal, for lack of a better term?
Couldn't tell you. That the political, I'm going to say political because it's the only word I know. Political side of that, I'm not too sure. Cardinal Raymond Burke, was the name I was trying to think of.
Sure.
He was one of the names that...
yeah, I did interview Burke. That'd be really cool. Yeah. I think, to interview Burke a while back.
I think on the term like the liberal, the quote-unquote liberal, and the I think it's more like, think of it as when you read between the lines of a document, that's like, okay, are we taking the... We're reading between the lines here, making like... Obviously, influenced by the Holy Spirit, we're taking this new-ish take based on what the text of the Bible says and all past papal documents and whatnot. And conservatives are like, no, we're reading this word for word. We're praying about it. We're assessing it. And this is what exactly it means, whereas those... That's my take on it, because it doesn't really make sense to me. It's actually, like, political. Because then it would just deviate, probably.
I mean, but everything's political, right? Yeah. Like, I view it more as... sort of traditional versus non-traditional, right? Or if I'm going to use less charitable terminology, orthodox versus unorthodox versus heterodox, right?
That's probably more the way it leans.
Like, there's a bunch of German bishops, and I assume a bunch of German cardinals that are kind of hostile to everything the Catholic Church has ever taught, right? That I would put in. I wouldn't want to call them liberal, as in a, because I don't want to be... I wouldn't want to use the same language to define to speak about them that I would Francis when he was a little imprudent in a speech on an airplane interview or something, right? But there's definitely a serious line of demarcation in the church with some of these guys. If I got to pick, and this was I think my one last time, when Francis, it would be Cardinal Seurat. I love Cardinal Seurat.
Yeah, oh, I feel like that's a name that I've heard a little bit as people want him to do it. He would be really good.
He's very old.
I know he's very old. Yeah. You know, maybe that's okay.
I like him too. But so I was recently in a I'll just call it a high level meeting with some people at the Archdiocese, and it's not a flex; it's more of a qualification of what I'm about to say. And I asked a question about, you know, the Pope and how he's doing and what the next one would look like with respect to, we were talking about kind of the laws of the church and whatnot and what was coming forward. But the Archbishop said that the last three popes, he described them in a really charitable way. And I liked it. So he said Pope John Paul II was a very pastoral pope.
Mm-hmm.
Pope Benedict was a very theological pope. Mm-hmm. And the current pope is a very practical pope. And he was very necessary for kind of how the state of the world was. And I really liked that a lot. And I think that some that might disagree, especially with the new pope, that if you kind of think of it in a practical manner for where the state of the world was, he was very important.
I just feel like, and this is, you know, John Paul II, right? John Paul the Great. He's a saint. He's currently part of the, you know, the choirs of heaven and all that stuff. God bless him. I feel like what he changed in the papacy was this sort of frontward-facing pope. Like, before that, you had a lot of kind of behind-closed-doors popes who weren't public faces, and you couldn't do that. I mean, what, he was elected in 70, whatever, right?
Three's coming to mind.
Yeah, but whenever that was, early 70s, he gets elected, and all of a sudden, he's got cameras in his face and is talking all the time and doing interviews. And before that, you didn't have that. And so I wonder with the Francis, because there's a lot of vitriol directed at Francis, some of it rightly so. I do believe that Francis should keep his mouth shut. But once again, I'm deferential to the Holy Father. But I feel like that probably would not be an issue if the guy didn't have a microphone and a camera in his face all the time. And I don't know if popes ought to do that. If I do get elected pope, I promise to be quieter. Yeah. Yeah. Then the last three of them. That's not a knock just on Francis in particular.
Right. Because John Henry's been very quiet since he's been on Honest to God.
I'm known. Yeah. I'm known for my silence.
I think on that point, in terms of being like quieter or not, I think it's more like Okay, when exactly are you speaking and what topics are you speaking on? Are you speaking on the hard topics that need to be said, or are you speaking on topics that you just feel like, okay, we're just going to talk about this, or I'm going to just like agree to have a camera in my face the entire time? I mean, think of like what you just said, Julian. It's like one was pastoral, one was practical, and one was theological. It shouldn't, I mean, every new person should take what works for the past one, apply it to what you know, and make it better. It's like we're trying to have an improvement. I have like three different categories here. So, I mean, that's my take on it. I don't know.
I just want to return to
simplicity.
Yeah, kind of. I want my Pope to not have to have me defending the church in day-to-day conversations with randos that I meet at places.
Part of it is translation and then media just running amok.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff's taken out of context.
Yeah.
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 Good. I mean, I want to hear that. That's exactly what I would...
A lot of the stuff is taken out of context. Still, he's not the most popular pope we've ever had, but...
I loved when, and I don't remember when this was, a couple of years ago maybe, where the Pope said something that was just like basic Catholic stuff, right? It was like, you can't have abortions, like abortion's evil, or transgenderism is evil, or the church is never going to approve gay, quote-unquote, marriage. And everyone melted down. And I was like, all right, guys, come on. Like, what did you, like, did you really think that? Because they said, well, you know, we thought some of these changes were going to turn. It's like, no, the Pope is still Catholic. And that's something that I think we need to take heart as Catholics, right? And in a minute, when we come back from break, I want to get into some of the really, really, really bad popes that we have had historically. Oh, goodness. And say, but even them, right, We're Catholics. He's the Holy Father. It's still the Holy Spirit who elects these people for a reason. Whatever that reason is, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. But it's funny to me, the fact that people keep waiting. And by people, I mean whoever the they is, right? The media and just sort of our, I don't know, our political betters or whatever, who keep being surprised that the Catholic Church doesn't compromise on certain things and never has. That's why I'm Catholic right now.
I mean, yeah. If you look at it, when in our history have true Catholics ever been compromising? I mean, right. This is how I've come to view Catholicism as a cradle Catholic myself. We're built to like anger people at times. We're not built to be compromised.
To anger people. I yeah. like that. Okay,
put that on a shirt.
Yeah, why not? We're also we can be compromising, diplomatic, but we're not going, so long as it doesn't violate what we believe. And if we stand true to our ideals, yes, life's gonna suck. It's gonna be hard, but everything is going to be falling under Christ's law and everything under His time, and everything will work out. Simple as that.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think. We are a hospital for sinners. We don't need to be judged by the people who don't practice who don't take the medicine, right? And so we're gonna get into some bad popes here in a minute, right after we come back from break. But first, we're gonna take a real quick break, right? Did you have something to say?
No, you said first, and I was like, okay, first.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Capital.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here.
Hey, you should be super pumped to be here, but I see you're reading something. What are you looking at there, John Henry?
I'm glad you noticed, Producer Julian. This is a newspaper from Thursday, March 14th, 2013. Little-known, small, indie publication called The New York Times.
Huh. Well, yeah. That must have been a very special day if you were just sitting there reading it during our show.
Well, the headline is A New Pope from the Americas. Francis 76 is the first non-European to lead the church in 1,200 years.
Wow.
Isn't that neat?
So yeah. Now in our lifetime, we've had two big popes as far as Pope John Paul II was the first non-Italian
right.
in like 500 years, and now we have the first non-European in 1,200 years.
Let's just get a little bit. I kind of like that. Let's branch out a little bit.
We need to get back to the Italians.
Yeah.
We need to get there is one on the roster.
I know. He's the top front runner. I'm going, yeah, let's bring
that's
him back.
The wrong coast of the Mediterranean. If you were not born in Africa, I don't want you. I don't want you.
Wow.
Mm. Okay. No, I'm serious. All the African Cardinals are the coolest guys in the world.
Yeah, and the African Catholics are very based, as the kids say.
Well, nowadays. And I'm sure somebody can find a counterexample, but in my experience, everyone that I know of is solid as a rock, hyper-Orthodox, very traditional. They're also, and they have real problems. I made fun of the Germans before. I've made fun of the Germans before on this episode, but I'm going to do it again.
They deserve it.
You always hear there will be these, like, synods or whatever, and the Germans are like, we should make the women deacons. And then the Africans are always like, Boko Haram just kidnapped a bunch of sisters from a convent in my diocese. Can we do something about these? And they just have real problems because they're real people in the real world, and I feel like the Europeans, they're soft. They're soft.
Soft and out of touch.
Yeah.
Especially the Germans. And I'm actually more German than Italian. I appreciate any knock against the Germans.
Well, the church in Germany is in bad shape. So please share this with all of your German Catholic friends if you're out there. Make sure that you send this over and let them know that we here at Honest God think they really need to get their stuff together.
We're going to be the ones to change it.
I hope so.
We're praying about it. We're praying for
it. Yeah, I think that it starts here. It starts at Honest to God and then flows across the Danube into the German everything and just, turns it into something again.
That's right.
Like from a while back, not from like 70 years ago. We want to go further back than that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Pre-World War I, for
Crusader
sure.
Crusader times?
Pre-Augustinian monks deciding that everybody gets to be their own popes in 1517.
Yeah. Didn't the Masons, they had a big, I don't know if they were fully started in Germany, but I know Germany had a huge influence.
I would do
the
Freemasonry episode so bad, you don't even know. We should do that.
That's okay. If you're listening and you want to hear a Freemason episode, comment Freemason down below, please. Because that sounds like a great episode.
I like that. All right, so I do want to dig into this. Speaking of the Europeans being soft, you brought something off air about sort of your understanding how the papacy was presented to you, especially in the Middle Ages. And a lot of it is... It's hard to hear and totally valid. Can you share that? Can you dig into that a little bit?
Well, yeah, just, growing up in the UK, growing up in a public schooling system, we got a pretty cynical look at, religion in the Middle Ages, but largely Christianity in the Middle Ages, and largely within that, Catholicism in the Middle Ages. And, we harp on a lot about King Henry VIII and the Tudors mm-hmm. and what he did. But this aspiration that Henry VIII had basically to be his own pope, because the pope was as powerful as you got back then. You weren't only a king of a single nation. You were at the top of the universal church of everywhere that they knew about and therefore they thought mattered, at the time.
And the corruption and all the...
And the corruption the power that the pope, certain popes exerted during certain points and... There was that whole piece with the Holy Roman Empire and competing popes and competing, factions of the church back then. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Honestly, a lot of the reason most of my friends who had a conversation about it weren't any kind of Christian, they would cite, look at this period in history. They would cite, look what... the church was doing here and there. And, when I was at school, a lot of this was even pre, what's the movie that begins with this? Spotlight, pre-Spotlight and a lot of the big scandals. And even then, you only had to be a cynical history buff. And they'd give you a reason why do you follow any of this? And they don't care too much about the distinction between Protestant and Catholic.
Sure.
If we had... any Catholics, then they probably had a similar experience at school to me.
No, I don't think this is a cynical view, but I think we need to embrace a lot of that, actually. I think we need to say out loud, yep, that happened. We had some really bad dudes, really bad, awful bishops, really bad, awful popes.
That's valid.
Yeah, because that's it's a historical fact. And I think that if we're – a lot of times we can beat that criticism to the punch and say, yeah, guess what? There have been really, really bad Catholics. But let me check my notes. Oh, wait, those were always the ones that didn't practice what the church actually teaches. And mm-hmm. It goes all the way up. Who's got the quote about how the road to hell is paved with the skulls of priests and lit by the lampposts are made of the spines of bishops or something like that?
Not really good.
That's a good quote.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. I've used that, and I have no idea who it's by.
Yeah.
No. It's just a sick quote.
That sounds like a Shakespearean Dante. Kind
of who's talking about Dante? Someone's talking about Dante. Yeah, dig into that.
Dante, I have no idea if he said that quote, but I know he wrote some pretty wild stuff. If you know Dante's Inferno and his three book series, the Inferno, Purgatorio, and
Paradiso.
Yeah. You're gonna see some wild stuff in there. I think, honestly, this might be a wild take, but my favorite was actually Inferno because you got to see all the craziness and like all the actual like, okay, you're down there, what is going on, and then.
Obviously, this is not some doctrinal document.
No, exactly.
It's a work of fiction written by Dante. Yeah, I just want to say
this is more like a philosophical book, if you're curious. There are popes in hell in that book. Dante specifically put, I forget the name of the guy, but he put a pope down there, and you can explain this better than I can. It's like a monarchical pope that he put down there?
Yeah, so during the time of Dante, the pope at the time, it was split between two sides. I want to say the white and the red, but don't quote me on it. So one side wanted the Pope to be the governing authority of everybody, so a lawful governing authority,
Sure. Not
just of divine lawful. And then another side wanted the Pope to be just the divine law and then have a government for, you know, mm-hmm. everyday regular law. And so Dante fell on, and who he places in hell was based off the side of the political spectrum that Dante fell on at that time.
Right.
Yeah, and it was a lot of, the book was met with a lot of controversy when it was released at that time.
Sure.
But the idea that he was trying to get through, and if I remember correctly how it was worded, it's not, if you're following the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't have to worry about policy, quote-unquote, per se, but you should be more focused on the beliefs of your faith. Follow those, and you will never be led astray. And that's what ultimately happened to this Pope, that he was totally led astray because he wanted something. I forget what he wanted, but that's why Dante put him in hell in, like, I think it was, like, level 3 or 4 right. in hell, where it's, like, some weird, I think it was, like, skull-sucking stuff,
great.
Like, creatures. He was super creative. I mean, the stuff, like I said, it's wild. If you want to read it, please do. It's actually a very good read. It's just, be prepared, because the philosophy behind the book, it deals a lot with the time period. And if you're familiar with the time period, you're going to understand why exactly it was going on.
I don't think it should be I don't think it should be controversial. Maybe it is. I doubt it. But to say that there's popes in hell, like, I think there's probably popes in hell.
Yeah.
Right? I think that one of the things I say to my kids at school all the time is, like, you have been baptized, you've been confirmed, right? You've got these indelible marks on the soul, right? Our holy orders also leave indelible marks on the soul. And so I say, like, so if you go to hell, mm-hmm. like, you are a trophy in hell. Don't be a trophy in hell, right? It's extra. It's an extra, like, accolade for the demon that drags down the soul of the kid who's been baptized and confirmed. Now imagine they grow up and they become a deacon and a priest. Now imagine they become a bishop and they become the pope to drag them to hell. Dude, you get a bigger and bigger target on your back every time.
And that's why this is where we're going to Purgatorio. This is the... There was one scene where everybody that's there, they're climbing, but their faces are, they're facing down. They can't see, but they're climbing up a mountain with a big boulder on their back. And that's what I think that a lot of people are going through even nowadays, especially like popes, cardinals. They are looking, they sometimes forget to look up, and instead they're just looking down with the weight of everything, like pressure, media, and actually just saying what is supposed to be said, what do the people need to hear that is actually within the bounds of our theology, our beliefs.
Doctrine, sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of takes on the that I want to get into in a minute about the secular power of the papacy. But one thing that I think is I don't know, going back to hell, going back to that target that we have on our back and what the popes have to deal with in regards to that, I think there's a real temptation, like I said, for the media presence and the celebrity status and all of this. That being said, I would argue that it's super important for the Pope to at least have some modicum of secular authority. The last thing you need is a Pope who is inside of a country and subject to that country. I tell kid, like, this is a surprise for a lot of people, but the Pope is the absolute dictator of the Vatican City.
Yeah.
The Pope can do whatever the Pope, literally whatever he wants in the Vatican City. It's not illegal. You can't arrest that dude in the Vatican City for anything. As bad as talking about the invasions and everything in the Middle Ages goes, one of the good things that it gave us is in 1527, the Holy Roman Empire invaded the papacy, and we got a sick speed metal song by the band Sabaton out of it about the Swiss Guard going out and fighting the army of the Barbarossa, or one of those guys, one of the Holy Roman Emperors, to defend the Pope so that he could be snuck out the back door and saved. It's really cool. It's called The Last Stand. Everybody should check it out.
I was gonna say, that's the next thing.
You know that song?
No, I'm not gonna check it out.
It is so good. The whole song is super sound. But I want to talk about the secular role of the Pope, because I think that it's super important. And if I am elected as the next conclave, which is not, there's not a 0% chance that that's going to happen. one of the first things I'm going to be doing is sitting down with whoever the, is it still that, the girl, Georgia something, the prime minister of Italy? I'm going to sit down with her and we're going to renegotiate some boundaries. All right. Because the papal states, like, they took it from us. All right. We used to have everything from like Florence and Bologna all the way down there to Rome. I'm just saying, it'd be nice to have it back.
I think, here's my take. It's best if you have somebody, a spiritual advisor, like a chaplain, or in this case, a bishop, as an advisor. Yes, they're their dictator or the main power within their boundaries. But if you're talking secular power, it does. If you have, say, a pope is also president, how would that go? Because you have to not only juggle law in a country, but you also have to juggle the law of your beliefs.
But he does. The Pope does.
And I think Vatican City is like its own set thing. But if you think about it, it's more effective for them to be advisors, like direct advisors to the top seats of like power. That way, these guys stop violating moral laws.
Right.
They are a lot more grounded to the people. And you also have different takes from different perspectives of people.
Sounds like you're trying to limit my power when I become Pope, so you're not invited to the Vatican City.
I would be happy for you if you came. If you got Pope, Vatican City, by all means, you do you over there.
I've said this before, and I want to make this really, really clear, that the first thing I'm doing, if I'm elected Pope, is I'm going to the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. If you've never been, definitely go check it out. They have the last papal tiara, like the triple-tiered crown.
Ooh.
That symbolizes the Pope's power, both over like spiritual and, I don't know, whatever the word is, secular authority. And I'm going to bust it out with a hammer and put it on my head. I'm going to wear it on the plane, but I'm going to fly coach because I'm humble. With that crown on my head all the way over to the Vatican.
Honestly, if you're putting out the tiara, I suggest bring back the ceremonial swords, like the ceremonial swords, like Excalibur. Like, there you go.
I want the ostrich feathers. I want the guys carrying me on the thing, but in a
as
humble
long as
way.
You're in coach. As long as you're in coach.
If you hired me as your advisor, I would not allow you to ride coach, because I know that the faithful Catholics would not want our Holy Father riding coach. We would want the absolute best for the Holy Father. So we appreciate your humility.
Well, if you say so, I'll move up to the front. I'm sure the Pope has a private jet, right?
He does actually have a private jet.
Well, you know, St. Paul, St. John Paul II, when he was addressing the people, and it's a famous photo, but Ferrari made him a red, what do they call it?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ferrari after he got shot, right?
Yeah.
Where they had him in the giant.
Yeah, the glass.
I think
it's a famous picture.
It's somebody, it's like Prada or some fancy schmancy clothing company that makes all the Pope shoes. Pope has really nice shoes.
Yeah.
But they're super kind. I'm still wearing cowboy boots, though. But really nice cowboy boots. I'm getting really nice ones made. No, not right now. I mean, when I'm Pope. I'm going to have really nice.
Yes, we're
going to
be same as in front of all the Cardinals in our cowboy boots.
I mean, I am wearing them right now.
Awesome.
Maybe Prada will make you some cowboy boots. probably been.
I bet they would. Yeah. If I ask. So,
yeah. That'd still be awesome.
That nice Italian leather.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do something weird, though. I'm going to do like ostrich or stingray or some kind of cool.
Ooh, snake.
Caiman.
Yeah, caiman skin, something. They'll be red, obviously.
Right.
What else? You guys got any Pope facts, Pope interesting Pope stories or anything before we...
We definitely need to talk about Pope Michael because we talked about him in the beginning and all these people are going, who is Pope Michael?
Yeah, who is Pope Michael?
Who is Pope Michael?
Anybody know anything about Pope Michael?
This is the first I've heard of Pope Michael.
First I don't know anything about Pope Michael.
I know about this guy back home claiming to be the living reincarnation of, get this, Buddha, Muhammad, and Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Hey, that seems like a...
Yeah.
You can pay for photos.
Yeah. Oh.
Well. He's very British.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna go there, just go all in. I kind of, once again, respect the hustle, just a little bit.
A little bit.
Like, why stop at one?
Was it in Glastonbury?
Of course it is.
Yeah,
it's in Glastonbury, famous for the music festival and a lot of esoteric and you know, just
weird
bohemian
goings on. And this one guy. So I know about this guy whose name I've willfully forgotten, but who is Pope Michael?
Yes, Pope Michael. I'll share. He is, I believe, in Kansas.
Okay, it is Kansas.
I think it's Kansas. I learned about him recently from somebody who lived in St. Mary's, Kansas. Great folks out there. I believe he is a member of the SSPX faction of the church. And
for the record, the SSPX do not accept Pope Michael as the Pope.
No, they don't. I believe his mother and about 18 other people in the area.
His mom does. Good for her. I make an exception for that. Your kid's crazy and you're along for the ride, Mom. I appreciate it.
He's made himself a chapel and declared himself the Pope and has said that there was no rightful election for something like 300 years. So even before Vatican II, I think going back before, I think that it was his mom.
Oh, okay. Yep. I feel like she shouldn't have the authority to do that.
Probably not.
Wait a minute. So, I'm starting to think he's not a legitimate Pope.
learned it here today.
That's a big argument. So you've heard of Sedevacantists.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big argument is that they say that the chair of Peter is empty because there is no true Pope right now, which Vatican I says is a complete lie. And as good Catholics, we listen to Vatican I or you're excommunicated.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we know where we stand, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But so they, there was a conclave, and apparently at one time it was supposed to be black smoke that came out, and then halfway through, or no, I'm sorry, it was white smoke, and then halfway through it was black smoke. This is when they were still using straw.
Right.
So the science wasn't there to have the chemicals.
Right.
But because of that, they're like, yeah, no, there's no real Pope. This is all fake now. But yeah,
I've gotten kind of deep into some of the Sedevacantist like stuff. I think that if John Henry Spann at 18 had a less masculine kind of church, right? This was it was Pope Benedict the 16th. I remember my uncle sort of like pejoratively calling him God's pit bull because he was up there saying all this cool stuff and making people mad and breaking things. He was neat. He was super cool. He read that the document from the Byzantine church that essentially said that everything that Muhammad brought to monotheism, the only thing that Muhammad brought to monotheism was violence. And for the record, we had been violent before that, all right? So don't, I mean, give us some credit. We did some, there's some war going on, all right? Like, in a cool way. But then, but he was doing all this cool stuff and making, like, the kind of people mad I wanted to make mad. I think that if it hadn't been Benedict the 16th, it had been somebody who was more, maybe less outspoken and less, didn't sort of grip my, like, young man, rebel without a cause heart. I think I would have fallen, because of spiritual pride, I would have fallen into some set of a contest, something, just because it seemed edgier and more neat. And now I look at it, I'm like, that's kind of lame. You guys are, like, trying too hard. But,
At that point, everybody, at one point in their lives, everybody will need a crusade, especially young men.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, 18-year-old you would have definitely needed a crusade.
Totally.
And definitely Benedict gave you that crusade.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if it had been a Pope that had been making my family members mad, I would have been less likely to be to become Catholic. So praise be to God. Big fan of Benedict the 16th. I had my marriage blessed by Benedict the 16th.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I saw him in Rome in 2011, 2010, something like that.
Wow.
When we went over there. Like, we didn't like have an audience or anything. I mean, I just paid money and got a thing that said that at some point he kind of did this over a piece of paper. I don't know how it works. But it's up in my living room. Looks really nice.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Claim to fame.
What are the Pope facts? Got any other interesting Pope stories? Pope anything? Pope related? Popery? What we got?
I got something I deep dived into a little while ago. It was, speaking of it earlier, the nationality of the popes through history. And this is an honest and maybe naive question. We were talking earlier about the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the election of a new pope. But what is with the disproportionate amount of Italian popes?
I like how you're even doing this. What's up with all these Italians?
Just trying to embody the logic behind it. I don't know, but...
I think the best answer to that is that Christianity, once it conquered Rome... It was kind of just it was based there for the longest time, and as it spread out, the more the papacy had and the cardinals and the bishops, they were all established in Rome. So there was not that much expansion until Christendom came along and the expansion, Manifest Destiny. It took centuries for bishops to get all around the world, but so long as the concentration, that's probably why you see the most concentration of talents, because Rome is the base of Catholicism right then and there. So that's probably why you see like. 80% of them are Italian.
Well, yeah.
There's a little bit of a deeper reason.
Yeah, go for it. You go.
If you follow the money of the banks, there's about five families that control 98% of the money in the world. You follow it down, and you'll see that that's where they've been influencing papal elections for like 1,200 years.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. Like there was a few of the. Of some of the bad popes, I can't remember their names, but they...
All the Borgias and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was about to say the Borgia family controlled a lot of it.
Yes.
I wasn't going to name any names just so that we don't
get them. It is a fact, yes.
Yeah. There was a whole HBO show called Borgia or something. I think a lot of it is proximity to Rome and this the wealthy, powerful Italian families. But I will also say what happens when the Western Roman Empire falls, right? The Eastern Roman Empire continues for another 1,000 years. And you have this total dissolution of government in Western Europe. And the Pope fills that void in a big way and kind of has like secular authority foisted upon him because he's the only unifying person that exists over there. And I mean, you know, the Italians made hay while the sun was shining there for a little while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, good on them. I think there were plenty of good Italian popes, but a lot of those in the Middle Ages that we see and we hear all these horror stories and children fathered out of wedlock by the Pope and prostitutes in the Vatican, all the really bad stuff. You just have really secular, powerful families who, for the sake of maintaining and building that power, are getting their own in the papacy, which is gross. But once again, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit works through it, y'all. None of this. And I like saying this stuff out loud and not hiding from it because we can't. I think for a long time, and this was has even been my sort of knee-jerk reaction as a Catholic. Oftentimes it's like you don't air out dirty laundry, you know? And when somebody would attack the papacy, when somebody would attack whatever, I'd be like, oh, no, that's all taken out of context. That's all, you know, bad things, propaganda against the papacy. Like, no, now I've gotten to where, as I've gotten a little older, it's like, no, I think I just want to get out in front of it and be like, yep, bad dudes. There have been some bad dudes still led by the Holy Spirit, still believe that Jesus Christ was telling the truth when he said the gates of hell won't prevail against the church.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's the key thing to remember right there is what Jesus said to St. Peter.
And you're a convert, right?
Yes, sir.
We got to do a conversion story episode with you, Rob. Seriously. If you're down, I would love it.
We're praying about it. We talked about it
all day.
Yeah. But, you know, I like to remember, especially when I think of bad popes and I get upset and frustrated, that sin has three consequences, personal and familial and ecclesiastical. Mm-hmm. And some actually would add a fourth and say cosmological. But, you know, I think that the bad popes honestly represent the sin of the world at the time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, when you see that, that's really what's been going on globally. And that's, you know, it brings a little bit of peace to my heart. And hopefully it does for you, too.
All right. We have about 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left. And instead of going around and doing popsicle sticks or whatever, I want to go around and AG, you can even get in on this despite your femininity, which is a strength in so many ways, but not for this conversation. And say, if you were Pope, one thing that you would do. What's one thing that you would do if you were Pope? Justin, even you, even the Protestants allowed to say, you're elected Pope tomorrow.
Can I go last?
Sure, you can go last.
Go last, yeah.
Anybody got one on the tip of their tongue?
Yes.
Go.
I would establish crusaders again.
Great.
Yes.
I dig it. Martial orders of priests and monks and whatever.
Hey, yeah. I mean, at least have... Learn what the Crusaders stand for, what their true purpose is, and at least establish a sect of every military in the world that is devoted to Catholicism, that willingly volunteer, that you will be taught in a Crusader form, that you will be educated in that Catholicism, that level of dedication, discipline, and
power. I want to SEAL Team 6, but for the Pope. I think it'd be super cool.
I actually
agree. A bunch of nuns get kidnapped in some monastery in Syria, and the Pope sends in, like, white with gold crosses on it, like B2s, and then Apaches come rolling over, and I think it'd be cool.
We get enough.
Rob, you got anything?
Yeah, 1 day of mandatory fasting a month.
Oh, I like that a lot. 24 full bad. Hours, too. And real fasting. Hours. None of this, you get one big meal and two little meal stuff. The real thing. You'll be fine. Yeah.
It's easy.
What about you, AJ? You got anything?
I would say everybody gets like a pretty church, some sort of stained glass or something. Awesome. I feel like there's so many churches that are,
that look like Pizza Huts.
Just like, I feel like there's so many like poor areas that aren't able to cool stuff. And everybody deserves a cool church.
A beautiful church that inspires reverence. Yeah. Give me some smells and bells. I like that.
I would mandate that the Pope would have to exclusively wear sackcloth and ashes. I think with all the talk of Prada and the Ferrari company earlier.
I'll do that.
Because the least shall be first, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be head of the church, you're going to be the worst dressed.
That'd be pretty cool, especially in Lent and stuff like that. All right, well, unfortunately, we are out of time. I had a really good one, which we'll have to bring back later on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Thanks for being here, guys. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.